Welcome back, coaches. This is Eric sitting here with
Jared Medlin.
There he is. Oh, hey. That's right. I should be more formal. This is Eric Voris. In case you thought there were other Erics on staff doing this podcast. But today, we wanted to talk to you coaches about what is sometimes the scariest, most awkward, most mysterious part of coaching, which is interacting and building a relationship with the parents of your student.
Yes.
Because parents can be terrifying, especially if you're younger, newer to coaching. You know, you're barely not a student yourself, and now you're supposed to cultivate this helpful coach relationship with people twice your age.
That's right.
Yeah, it's scary. Right.
It is. It is. We didn't sign up for parent ministry.
We didn't know we did, but technically we did.
But technically we did, so yes.
So to start that off, I thought what would be most helpful is let's share horror stories of the worst end of parent situations that you and I have dealt with in our student ministry careers so that the coaches can know, okay, surely it can't be worse than this and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You guys have to know that me and Eric, your student pastor at your campus, we're human and this doesn't come easy to us either.
Nope.
So I'll go first and just share a struggle I had with a parent. I was in my early 20s. I was working in camp ministry at the time at United Christian Youth Camp. I was overseeing junior high and high school camps, and I was preaching a sermon to which I was using a funny example by talking about Santa Claus.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, dangerous. Be careful with the jolly old Saint Nick. But I kind of just made light of Santa Claus is not real.
Wait, hold on.
I did. I went there.
Best of luck to you.
And I preached the same sermon all summer long to probably a dozen camps. But after this particular sermon, a mom met me at the back of the room after the sermon. And she was a youth coach and her husband was a youth coach as well. And in this moment, as I'm walking up towards her, I can tell something is wrong. You have like the veins bulging out of her neck. Husband is like arm around her shoulder trying to keep her calm. And immediately out of her mouth is, "How dare you?"
It's the best start to any conversation.
I was like, "Oh my gosh, what did I do? Like, I just preached a sermon. What
was
that?
Heresy?
Yeah,
what did they do?
What was it? What was it?" And apparently, their sixth grade, getting ready to be a seventh grade daughter, was in the room and had not yet heard the news that Santa is not who he says he is.
That's on the parents, for sure.
Totally
that's
was.
Way too old.
Totally was. But this mom let me have it. And it was terrifying in the moment. But by the end of it, somehow I managed to eke my way out of that and calm mom and dad down enough. And the crazy part is I ended up and I tracked down their daughter at camp later that afternoon just to apologize to her. And this little girl was mortified by what her mom did. And I think in her words is just like, "I knew he wasn't real."
Yeah. I'm 12. I got it.
So that was redeeming for me in the moment. But gosh, communicating with parents is impossible sometimes.
That is, mine is also from early in my ministry. There's a trend here. first, like, full-time student gig, I was also in my early 20s, and there was this parent in my ministry who was, he was the parent, it was a smaller church, smaller youth group, the parent who, like, called himself a coach, but really, like, just came to youth group and stood in the back with earplugs in and arms crossed, just, like, surveying what I'm sure he thought was terrible all the time. So he and I had many great discussions. But one night, he picked a fight with me about, I can't even remember what started it, but somehow the conversation moved to beards. And I know now I am probably best known for my robust beard. At the time, I could not grow a good beard. I didn't even have one. But as we're having this discussion, he says, "Yeah, and I don't trust anyone with a beard. Any man with a beard is trying to hide something."
Oh, wow.
And okay, that's one theory, or his face is cold. But the I was not necessarily as good at filtering my words as maybe I sometimes am now. And so I heard myself say, so do you not trust Jesus? To which this old school crotchety Bible Belt dude did not think that was funny in the least.
Yep.
And let me have it for a good long while and then stormed off. And I went back to playing air hockey with students or whatever I was supposed to be doing, not arguing with him. But yeah, that I didn't earn any points with him or build any trust or relational capital. And obviously, I no longer work at that church.
Yeah, little did that dad know the Eric filter and what trap he had stepped foot in.
It just seemed so obvious. How could I not?
Good job. I'm glad you did that.
Thank you. I don't think I changed his heart or mind at all. But the point is, yeah. Coaches, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
We're still here. We're still in student ministry.
Yeah, it's really not. And really what we want to talk about just on this episode is we just want to give you two things to walk away with and just help encourage you to take steps towards partnering with parents. And Eric, why don't you just kick us off with just point number one, what can we do?
This is going to sound so deep, so mind-blowing. You would never consider this. But make an effort, make a concerted, like go out of your way to introduce yourself to your student's parent.
Yep.
To your student's parents.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know,
you got it.
We'll fix the tenses in post. But it can be easy to like wrap up group time and then just let the students scatter and you never see anybody or connect with anybody. But make an effort to be hanging with some students when their parents come to pick them up, or if a kid's like, all right, I got to go meet my parents over by whatever, tag along with them. Just to make that first introduction. Hey, I'm Jimmy's coach. And the best follow-up to that is, I love having Jimmy in group. He is so funny, or he always asks the best questions, or some little way to brag on that student to the parents. You can't not win when you do that to a parent.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a bonus. Not only are they putting, you know, a name with a face that their son or daughter's youth coach is real. Now they've seen him in person. They're alive. They're breathing. But now you've just bragged on one of the most precious things in their life.
Yeah.
And that'll just go such a long way. So don't underestimate. I think that's huge. And we should just never expect that parents are going to come to us.
Very rarely.
Yep. We have to be willing to go to them. And it just takes effort, just like you said.
Yeah. And it'll take using that. It'll take you a few weeks, maybe a couple months to like meet most of your students' parents. But make the, like think in your head, okay, I'm going to go try to meet these two parents this evening or this morning. And just work your way through the list.
Yep. That'd be a great goal. The second point, equally, this isn't mind-blowing stuff here, but if you can work to provide a consistent update to your parents, then I think you're going to win as a coach. Parents love to be informed, but they don't want to be over-informed.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Yes. So that we live in this world of information, and parents like to be in the loop. It is your job to manage that tension. So what I would just encourage you is just start a monthly email. We provide you with a coach toolbox where you can find access to your parent email addresses and just create a group email. And once a month, I'm talking like one paragraph.
Yeah, super short.
Couple sentences that you just blast to your parents. And it's simply, you're just saying, you know, hey, here's a quick win. Hey, this last month we studied the book of James and we did a reading plan and it was awesome. Thank you, parents, for encouraging your son or daughter to read the Bible. I appreciate it so much. I'm here for you if you ever need me. The end.
Yeah. Short and to the point. You're giving those parents that want to be engaged, they're armed with some information. They can follow up with their kid. Like, oh, so you were reading James. What? They can have a discussion. And I know email, you heard him say email, and any coach under 30 thought, what year is it? You have to try to connect with people in the way that they are easiest to connect with.
That's right.
And parents, we are on the older side. We still read our emails. We still check the inbox. So if you try to send out like DMs on the gram, you're going to miss most of your parents.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. And I think like just kind of along the lines on that, you know, one question that Eric and I were kind of just bouncing around is, you know, but what about when we have a situation going on with a student in our group and it's maybe a tricky situation, something's going on in their life or faith, and we're trying to figure out at what point do I bring the parent in on this situation?
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Totally is. Totally is. And we know that it's a common thing that you find yourself in these situations. So one of the things that we just wanted to share with you in these situations is just to avoid extremes. So let's help bring this to life. Let's say that you've got a student in your group that's wrestling with some kind of sinful activity. Let's just say in this point, you know, a student shares with you that they're engaged in sexual activity with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And in this moment, you have an opportunity to move to one of two extremes when it comes to how you involve the parent in this. On one extreme, you could loop in the parent immediately. Like, while the conversation is happening, be texting mom and dad going, we need to talk. And immediately it's kind of just like, it's kind of telling on the student in your group.
It feels like tattling for sure.
So that's on one extreme. And on the other extreme, you have keeping that activity a secret from the parent, not sharing with them ever. And what I want to encourage you to do, what me and Eric both want to encourage you to do, is avoid those two extremes. There's not a concrete answer to this question, but it is our job in these situations to make a wise decision to involve the parent at the right time. And how you make that decision is probably something that you don't want to do alone.
Yeah. No, I would absolutely. If you have a co-coach, they're a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And then I would even encourage, even if you do talk with your co-coach, maybe both of you loop in your student pastor, get their take on it as well.
Yep.
And part of what makes it so difficult is every family dynamic and every situation a student is going to be in, it's all a little different. So we can't give you just a here's the bullet pointed plan because you have so many factors to read into. But that's why what we've talked about beforehand about kind of maintaining a relationship.
Yep.
There, I can think of few worse situations I've been in than when the first conversation I have to have with a parent is something like this.
Yes.
You want to have an existing relationship, some level of trust already built up. And a lot of times, like in the situation you gave, I've had great success talking with the student and encouraging them, like, hey, your parents should really be a part of this.
Yep.
And I've even seen coaches do the like, okay, well, you know, you see the value, you want to talk to your parents about this. Hey, I'm going to give you till, you know, Sunday night to have that conversation. And then I'm going to be following up with your parents Monday. So they're going to find out it's better from you than from me.
Right.
That can be a great tactic. But again, get some people in your corner sorting through that with you.
Exactly. I think common mistakes that coaches make, one would be keeping it to yourself and just dealing with it on your own. The other would be moving towards the extremes. If you run to the parent immediately, whenever you face some kind of challenging situation with a student, you risk the trust that you've built with that student. And we don't want to compromise that. We know that without trust, we're not going to be effective as a youth coach. So avoid that extreme. And then the other is secrecy. If you're keeping secrets, you are no longer a coach. You have become a friend. We are not here to be students' friends. We'll be friendly.
For sure.
But we will be coaches, and coaches will tell the truth. And so make sure we're leaning into that, avoiding the extremes.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff.
It is. And I think just as we wrap up today, just a takeaway that I would just say for every coach, if I were to say one thing that every coach should do after listening to this podcast is go introduce yourself to a parent. and it starts with one. And I would challenge you, you know, throughout the rest of this semester even, to introduce yourself to every parent for the consistent students in your group, but it starts with one. So who's that one student you don't know their parents? And this week,
yeah,
this week, go make the effort to introduce yourself. And I think that'll get the ball rolling for you to continue serving parents, because whether or not you agree with it or not, you're not just a youth coach to a student. You support the entire family.
Amen. That's all we got for tonight. Yep. For not tonight, whenever you're listening to this, sometime in the day. Coaches, as always, thank you for giving up some time listening to this, for investing in yourself as a coach, because the difference you're making in the lives of students and the lives of families as a whole, you will literally never know the impact you're making this side of heaven.
Yep, that's right. Thanks for investing in yourself. We know when the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. See you next time.